Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, breaking news from USA Today. Just came across the wire here. Evidently, Lady Gaga's two French bulldogs are safe. They have been returned. A woman who is uninvolved and unassociated with the criminals who shot the dog walker and captured the dogs, she brought them back. So the dogs are safe. I'm sure everyone will sleep better knowing that the two French bulldogs are back in the custody of Lady Gaga. And it's nice to be able to talk about things that aren't incredibly crazy. I still don't know that this is news, but just something to make me happy. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the big weekend ahead on the crazy pack. I've asked our good friend Bob Ney to come talk with us. Bob's former Ohio congressman, political analyst, and good friend of the show. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thanks, Rick. We're going to the dogs. That's it.
Literally. The dogs. Khashoggi, we now say that he did it, and now the Biden administration says no penalties. Thoughts?
Well, Congressman Schiff, who, as we know, is the majority Democrat committee chair for the Intel Committee, which is a big deal, has said that, something needs to be done about MBS as far as our position. He said that today. But the Intel report makes it pretty clear, things that we've been saying for quite a while, that he approved the operation, did it. And right now, it wasn't mentioned in the call between President Biden and King Salman because at that time the report had not surfaced publicly. But it's going to be interesting to see what the Biden administration does as the reaction comes in Congress, because now you've got Congressman Schiff. You can probably bet you're going to have some Republicans and some other key Democrats that are going to start to come out swinging hard, not at Biden, but swinging hard at MBS. So at some point in time, we're going to have to probably assess where we want to be at if we are still supposed to deal with him. Although President Biden did take the step, as you and I talked this week, the step of saying, wait a minute, I'm dealing directly with King Salman. No. But MBS is going to be a problem. I mean, the guy's ruthless. He's got his mother under house arrest. He took opponents, accused them of things, detained them, put them in prison until they gave up. And, of course, they did a deal. Look, I lived in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in 1983. Rick, what they've done with the families is terrorized them. The ones that, were, quote, pleading guilty and, were going to go to prison for this, they shut their mouths because the families are threatened and also paid off.
Yeah, and that's how we know how that works.
Yeah, that's what they do. They have money.
Yeah, and I was kind of sad to see that there was going to be no penalty. But I guess diplomatically, you kind of have to do that outwardly. I mean, because what can he possibly do?
Well, that's right. At this point in time, if the heat from this report generates up, and if a lot of people around the world, get involved with it, then the United States may take a position. Look, this guy was spared when this whole bad deal happened. This guy was spared by the Trump administration. If not for that at that point in time, I think he would have been so weak that they would have had to have pushed him aside.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where this plays out. Let's move along. Bombs are falling. A little over a month in, and we've already bombed something.
Well, on this one, I think that we have to realize that it's not a out-and-out spark that's going to ignite a war. We did take the step of talking to Iraq before we counter-strike. Now, the reason I mention that, Rick, is because in the past, a lot of times, we would just strike without talking to Iraq, and sometimes from their soil or on their soil, and that caused us a problem. So we struck back at the Iranian-backed militia that are in Syria. And this was, I think, sort of a move to say to the Iranians, if you're going to aggressively come after us, we're going to, strike back. The problem with all of this, though, is that there will be situations in the Mideast. You don't know who's telling the truth. There's a ton of liars. Look back to the Saudi. Remember the two bombs on the Saudi boats, the oil tankers? We never did find out who did that. I think the Saudis set those bombs themselves to try to get us into a war with Iran. So I think something that the Biden administration better be very, very careful of is getting involved with these proxy wars. And also, you know, we've got troops over there, and we're engaging in Syria where, you know, we don't really have any form of a base. The Russians and the Iranians do. So I think that Biden administration really would want to be careful to not be part of or goaded into something that turns into a nightmare for them.
Now, you've got Democrats now saying that we've got to be reexamining and doing something to overhaul the War Powers Act. Is that something we need to do?
Oh, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard this one when I was there, I would have accumulated some money. We've always debated it. We debated it when I was there. It was debated after I left, you know, the War Power Act. The closest we came to it being honored was when Bush said, you know, full faith and authority for him to do something if he needs to, and we had a vote. That's about as close. I mean, the War Powers Act probably technically has been violated, you know, for as long as we can remember. So if they want to revise it and have some type of mechanism, I guess, that triggers when the president can act on his own without the Congress, then they can do that. But I don't think this event with President Biden should bring up a discussion of the War Powers Act, to be frank with you.
Okay.
This isn't that big. It's not that big of a strike.
So are we expecting a retaliation?
I don't think so. I think that a lot of this, and this is the other thing we have to remember. Look, the Iranian regime is no walk in the park. It's no picnic. It's not a nice group. But a lot of times, this is not under the direction of the Iranians. These are Iranian-backed militia that do what they want to do. And we have to remember that, I think, in dealing with them. So it's not always the Iranians that directed it, although they do back the militia. So I don't think the Iranians themselves will make a strike back. But I do worry that the Iranians hit at us, we hit at them, and pretty soon everybody's happy, not from our side, but everybody else in the Mideast is happy because we don't talk to Iran anymore about a nuclear deal. And that makes a lot of people happy because they want us to confront Iran in a military fashion.
Yeah, I definitely do not
want
that. I don't think that's a good – there's no positive outcome in that I see.
None. We lose big time. If we think that we lost in Afghanistan and Iraq, try this with Iran and see what happens. Yeah, it would not be pretty.
No, it's not something I think we should even entertain. And I know there are people who are, we could turn the whole place into a sheet of glass.
Nope.
No.
Just look at Iraq. We got the you know, occupation we didn't want.
Exactly. Let's bring it back to home. This American Rescue Plan, minimum wage, probably not going to happen. Probably not going to get through because the parliamentarian has decided it can't be part of this bill, even though Sanders, you know, had the Congressional Budget Office report that said it should have been. Thoughts on how this is going to proceed from here?
Well, it's the Senate's parliamentarian. Of course, they have to be very careful. If they fire the parliamentarian because of this ruling, then they might get a parliamentarian that makes another ruling. I mean, they set it up so there are parliamentarians that, you know, do this very thing. We've encountered it in the House. I think now that the parliamentarian has made the motion, then they're going to have to think of a different way in the Senate to do this, number one. And they can't throw the baby out with the bathwater in a sense that the whole bill stops and goes down because of this.
No, the plan has to go through.
Yes. You're going to have to figure out another way, though, with minimum wage. Or why could they not add some kind of language, and this would probably get past a parliamentarian, add some type of language into the Senate measure that has a short-term, three-month commission that makes a recommendation that then kicks in to, you know, become a law. They could do that.
Explain
They're not
that.
Raising it, but they would have a commission that would then basically do the same thing.
So walk me through this. You can put this in there that whatever the commission comes up with, that is the law?
They could, if they want. It would trigger a minimum wage. Let me give you an example. The cost of living increase that is done for Social Security, right?
Right.
That's not done by congressional action. Now, it can be. They can step in and say, we're going to do it, but there's a cost of living increase board. It kicks it in, and then it takes effect. So if they're trying to get around the fact that they can't raise the minimum wage in the bill because of the parliamentarian, I'm just throwing it out there. Why couldn't they create some type of short-term 60-day commission that looks at the economy, takes the advice of the House and Senate, and institutes a rule for a minimum wage?
Huh.
Now, it'd be a little bit unorthodox, I understand that,
Yeah. But
you could do that. But there is one bigger picture here to this, too, by the way, because if they're going to do this later on, if they can't get this past a couple of the Democratic senators, which is what I hear, then they're going to have to do it, you know, somewhere else. They're going to have to come to today, meaning Senator Schumer. This is a Senate deal, not a House deal. One way or the other, whether it's minimum wage, whatever they're dealing with, the stimulus bill, they're going to have to come to the realization that they need to change the cloture rule. They need to change the 60 vote.
Yep.
It would be healthy for everybody, no matter who runs that Senate down the road.
No, and this is where, you know, in nowhere do you need a supermajority to get something done. And
correct.
We just end up mired in this kind of gridlock where nothing gets done and things just keep getting worse. And look, I do understand that if McConnell takes power in a couple of years, mm-hmm. and Republicans get the ability to swing
right.
stuff, that's going to happen too.
Right.
But the hope is that, you know, you then have this moment where Republicans then come to the table and start having actual ideas. My problem is the talking points are from all of the Republicans right now is, well, the Democrats aren't listening to us. They're not talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't seen anybody come out with an actual plan. Romney and Cotton's plan for the minimum wage increase is a non-starter as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they both sides always put the drama. They call it the nuclear option to actually go for 50 votes.
Yeah.
That's the nuclear option. That's so much hogwash. I've heard it from the Democrats. I've heard it from the Republicans. You know, that they'll exercise the nuclear option. This would be comparable to the House, which now has 218 votes with either all Ds or a combination of R and Ds. They pass a bill. This would be like saying, no, not 218. We've got to do 235. That's how we do it in the House. And the House doesn't do that, and the Senate shouldn't either.
If they would
correct this, they would have a better chance to, you know, get some things done. And the argument that McConnell may come back in power, you know how to prevent that? You raise money, you win elections.
How you do that is you push an agenda,
right.
You increase the minimum
right.
wage, you make people's lives better, people vote
right.
on how they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and you do the things that you need to get done.
Right.
You don't make excuses on why, oh, gee, sorry, the parliamentarian. And look, I had someone say, well, just fire her. I go, well, you don't have 50 votes yet. If Manchin and Simina and Hassan and the rest of them are on board, then maybe you could get away with that. But you don't have the 50 votes yet.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what Schumer does. Because, look, if they don't get this this rescue plan put through and they don't get an infrastructure bill put through soon, it's going to be a long 2022.
Well, and here's the other thing that he will run up against that Harry Reid ran up against when he ran the Senate, that McConnell ran up against when he was running the Senate, and I heard this from Republicans. When they come out and they say, well, you know, the Republicans are blocking me. Well, here's what people know. There's 50 Democrats and the vice president for a vote. When McConnell used to use this, you know, well, I don't have enough votes. Well, wait a minute. Republicans control the Senate. The average person, after a while, doesn't buy into that.
Right.
And I hope the leaders understand that.
No, I'm right there with you. As I said, my answer to this is we do away with the 60 vote. If you want a filibuster, You get your empty jug, you get like some reading material, and you hold the floor. You stop all business. As I learned as a kid, the filibuster was so important. It was a tool that nothing could go forward until this was settled. I say we go back to that.
Yep, and the stimulus package must pass.
No, without question.
And also, they've got a rail plan. There's the actual, you know, transportation bill for the highways and roads and bridges, and those are a big deal, and it will get people back to work. And then, you know, they need to kick open and kick up the whole vaccination program. They need money to do that. I mean, there's a lot of things in there. And education, because I think that people in elected office better listen back home. The troops are getting restless when it comes to education, the families.
Oh, yeah.
They've got to focus on it.
Got to get this done. I wanted to get your thoughts. This weekend going to be the big CPAC. I know you've probably been to a bunch of them, right?
Oh, I've been to both the progressive and conservative events. By the way, I hear the same comment made by each side on summing up the events.
Yeah, it's all crazy pack for me.
And I've heard Democrats say that CPAC is the scene, the bar scene from Star Wars, and I've heard Republicans say that about the Democratic event. So I always hear that from each side.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Trump speech that's coming up, and did you see the golden Trump doll that they rolled out? Kind of look, as a guest earlier said, look like the Bob Biggs boy character out in front of the restaurant.
No, I didn't see that. No, I didn't.
You didn't see the golden calf?
It. No, I did not.
There's a giant golden Trump doll that they wheeled through CPAC with American flag shorts on. It is hysterical looking.
Okay, I will make sure.
I'm telling you right now, if they make a gold bobblehead of that, I might actually buy that thing. You know, I got a listener who loves sending me stuff.
Carol will ban you from the house. That's what's going to happen.
Well, I'm not allowed to bring it in the house, but I have a listener who sends me all these dolls. I have a Trump doll. I've got the Biden I've got the Bernie Sanders doll. And if there is a gold bobblehead that looks like that thing that they rolled out, I want one.
You want one, okay. I watched Ted Cruz's speech, and, you know, it
I'm
was
sorry.
Just a disaster.
I'm sorry. You know,
you want a Ted Cruz bobblehead, too?
No.
You do have your limits.
No, remember when we were kids, they had that thing that was a board you used to stand on, and you'd punch it? And had the little punch thing.
Right.
Give me one of those, or the one that had the sand in the bottom, and it was just
I remember.
It was a punching. Yeah. It was a punching doll.
Sure.
They probably still sell them. I just haven't seen one in a while. But give me one of those. I'll take a Ted Cruz one of those. And finally, last question I've got for you there, Rose DeLauro, Congresswoman from Connecticut. Yes. She has offered a bill that would restore earmarks.
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
Yes. Very good thing. It's a 2.0. It's regulated. I was mentioned in an article, but not in the Axios article, but other articles. And I actually sent a little email to the group. I didn't do earmarks. That's not what they got me for, was earmarks. But Duke Cunningham, and there's others we could name that did earmarks, and, you know, defense contractors gave him gifts, et cetera. That has happened. And also influence, people have influenced, and political groups influence. But overall, this is where I've always stood on it, and I would defend Rosa DeLauro and others. And Steny Hoyer, number two Democrat in the House, has espoused this too, which is, you know, who better to make a decision for Newcastle, Pennsylvania, for, you know, Newark, Ohio, et cetera, than the people who are elected that talk to their local officials. And in most cases, that's better than an unelected bureaucrat who doesn't even know where those places are that I named. So I think in itself it's very healthy. It also used to make a more bipartisan effort, to be honest with you. Now, here's certain limits. You ought to put your name on it.
Right.
We ought to know exactly who does these. They can't be done in secret. And one member can't do them for another. I had members come to me and say, can you do this? And I would say, That's not my district. Well, we just, you know, we don't want our name on it. We don't want to associate with it. So make it clean, and I think it's going to be okay to do.
Yeah, but ultimately, you know, it's my view that like a lot of this stuff, because this is how we build libraries. This is how we bring schools and post office and all kinds of stuff. It's how you bring the bacon home. But it's also how you do some horse trading to get some things moved around. And I know it's the ugliness of the sausage making, but we got to come back to some way of getting people to come on board.
Well, I could give you a list of projects in the 18th Congressional District where I was at from the state Senate days and the congressional days that would never, ever, ever have been funded by any form of government, state or federal for the region. And they were good projects. Yeah. And they were projects designed by local people, not by lobbyists. So I think with certain, you know, and sure, some people have gamed the system. I'm not saying that. But they use two or three examples in these stories now. In the Rosa DeLauro story, two or three examples, Duke Cunningham and, you know, and Jack Abramoff or me or whoever, and they use that as the standard rule, and it's not.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. But, Bob, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Our good friend Bob Ney. Like I said, I'm all in favor of it. This weekend, Sunday, 8 p.m., make sure you check out our Think Spot event with former Tea Party Congressman Joe Walsh. I can get there through our Twitter, through our YouTube. I think it's going to be an interesting little event. You can sign up for ThinkSpot, ask some questions. If you missed any of today's program, RickSmithShow.com. That's where you go to get the podcast. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Rick@RickSmithShow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.